Thank you very much, Pastor, and it's a real privilege to be here this week. It's been a long time since we've been here. I think about 10 years since the last time we visited here, and it's just been a real blessing to us as missionaries this week to get our throats stepped on from Sunday morning through Tuesday night. And, you know, I enjoyed, we never met the Morrisons before, but we really had a blessing just getting to know them. And they're a blessing to our heart spiritually as we listen this week. And as I was thinking about something tonight, Pastor asked me last night if I would take tonight and bring a message to you. And usually I, you know, you got 3 points in a poem and you work it out. And I said, you know, we've gone through this whole thing all week. And I think we need to boil it down to the application to each one of our lives individually. You know, so many times we, as a church, we like to brag about what we're doing because we're doing the right thing and it's good. But many times as a church, we're doing it, but as individuals, we're not doing all that we should do. And so tonight, I want to briefly go over what we've talked about already some and just see how it applies to each of our life personally. You know, when we come to church, it's supposed to get personal. And if it doesn't get personal, you probably didn't get the message. If you would, please, turn to Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, or verse 18. We've read this many, many hundreds of times, I'm sure, as most of us have. Some of you know it by memory. Let's turn to this passage of Scripture tonight and look up very briefly. And then we'll try to look at some ideas that God has given us throughout His Word. Matthew 28, verse 18. All right, when we get through turning, we'll read together. Follow me. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Someone tell me what we usually call that passage of Scripture. The great what? Did I hear somebody say the great suggestion? You know, that's what we do with it many times. We think about it as the great suggestion. But he says, go ye into all the world. And as the pastor just said, the world starts right here. I've been in churches where they got over the back door. You are now entering the mission field. Someone said you're either a mission field or a missionary. Which one are you? I'm a busy person. Have you ever noticed that, and I was going to read tonight the scriptures where the disciples are called, where Paul and Barnabas and those guys were called, they weren't sitting on a pew just relaxing. God deals and works with busy people. But then being busy is not the important thing. I've also read those signs. In fact, I used to have one just outside my office. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Many of us are busy, and we're going around being so busy that we are barren spiritually. And we haven't spent time in God's Word as we should. We've not prayed. We've not gotten the power. And if we don't have the power of God upon our lives, we're spinning our wheels. And as missionaries, we do the same thing. Confession. Pastors do the same thing. We get busy. We get doing the things that we should be doing, but yet we haven't given the Lord time enough to work in our hearts like He really should. So the gospel must be preached. It's not a suggestion, but it is a commission. It is a command for all of us. Not just to the missionary, not just to the pastor, not just to the deacons, but to all of us. Now, you know, the other day I thought that was a good thing that was brought up in the message. We are to complete the cycle. Remember that, what he said? We're to complete the cycle. And in this scripture, he says, you're to go, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe. To go ye and teach and baptize and teach them. You see the cycle there? And if some of us quit, the cycle doesn't get completed. So we each one have a responsibility to go and do that. Now, if God really wants to emphasize something, he says it more than one time usually. And of course, we have Matthew, which the Great Commission is mentioned in. And then, of course, Mark is mentioned once again. And then Luke, it's mentioned once again. And then John, it's mentioned once again. And then we covered it this week in Acts 1:8. It's also mentioned once again. In different words, but saying the same thing. And if we look at Acts chapter 1 once again, as we looked at that earlier this week, a very powerful verse of Scripture. There's some promises in there that we need to look at. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the world or the earth. You know that Jesus was given these commissions, these commands, when he was in Jerusalem. He started his ministry there and he finished it on earth there. And then the scripture says here that when he finished, he disappeared. He left them. But he also left them with instructions to wait. I don't know about you, but I have a hard time waiting. As I come back to the United States, I find one thing right away. I like to stay off the roads because everybody's in a hurry. I'm not in a hurry. I guess I've been in the islands too long. Some people like to harass you at the traffic light, you know. They can't wait for the right light to turn green. They're counting down the seconds. I do like these new things you got in the States with those crossing bars, and at 30 seconds, I think it is, they start counting down. So when you're approaching a traffic light, you can look at that, and you can tell how many more seconds you got before the thing turns red on you. But some people get so anxious to leave, they start blowing their horn. But I used to have a way I fixed that. Somebody did that to me. I had to get out of my car and check to see why the engine wasn't running right. And I'd walk around my car and check it, and then I get back in and leave. And that fixes them. All right, let's wait upon the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We pray that you would work in each of our hearts. We've heard messages from your word all week about how we are to go and how we're to spread the word throughout the world. And we pray, Father, that as individuals tonight, we might see our own responsibility. We might know for sure what you want us to do personally for the project of missions around the world and at home today. Work in our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, as Jesus mentions in this scripture, he said, "Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost will come upon you." You know, I had a lesson I taught on to our folks in Antigua. We don't celebrate it here, as Baptists really don't celebrate it. We have some holidays in the islands that you don't always celebrate here. I think they try to celebrate everything. That way they're off on Mondays. But most of our holidays are always on Monday. But how many of you know what Whit Monday is? You ever celebrated Whit Monday? You ever celebrated Whit Sunday? It's Greek, isn't it? We as Baptists don't even know what it is. But guess what? It's in Acts chapter 2. It's Pentecost, the birthday of the church. And so many times we overlook some of these things. And as we're approaching this scripture tonight, Jesus is saying, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, but I want you to wait first. Don't go anywhere. I'm sure he got them all excited. They were ready to go, but he said, I want you to wait. And as Christians, not even Christians, as human beings, we don't like to wait. But there are very few things in this world, I guess, that are worth waiting for. But when God says to wait, it's worth the wait. And he says, I want you to go, and I want you to wait until you're endued with power from on high. And what was that power? That power was the Holy Ghost coming at Pentecost. And once they received that power from the Holy Ghost, then they had that impetus to proclaim God's word. And they went to the uttermost parts, supposedly. You know, if someone said delay in obedience is disobedience, I'm not sure it goes that far, but they did not completely obey the Lord, did they? They went up in the room and they waited. And then when they got power, they started preaching and teaching in Jerusalem. And they forgot about going into the uttermost parts. And what happened? God sent persecution. And then we see in Acts chapter 1 again, as we look a little bit further. In Acts 8, if you look over there just a second. Acts chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at the time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they all were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. God sometimes has to persecute us or allow persecution. He doesn't persecute us, but he allows persecution to come into our lives that we might do what we're supposed to do to start with. And in this particular case, they were not scattering throughout all the regions. They were staying there in Jerusalem, building a big church downtown Jerusalem. I call it the First Baptist Church, on the porch of the temple. And it was a great church, but that's not really his purpose. Yes, they were to have a church there, but they were to go into the uttermost parts. And because of persecution, they were scattered throughout all the land, and the gospel was able to be proclaimed throughout that. Now, because of that persecution, tonight we're able to be saved, aren't we? Maybe incomplete obedience to start with, but God gets the job done. And he does it his way. And many times if we're not available and if we're not ready to be used of God, we don't get to rejoice with the victories that are won because we didn't take advantage of what God wanted us to do. And some of us here tonight are sitting here and we're enjoying the blessings of good messages, good missions conference, and we're just happy. But I'm thinking tonight as I look out here, and as I've seen this week, the Lord dealing with hearts, I believe there's some folks here tonight that God may be dealing with to help us out, help out the work that's going on around the world. And as we see this, we need to ask a question. These things have to be done, but how can I do it? How can I, as a individual person living in the city of Albany, Georgia, which is a lot bigger than the last time I was here. All right, things are growing around here. But still, is this the exact place that God wants some of you? Maybe he has something better for you. I'm glad to see you have some nice young people in this church. How many are under 21? Amen, brother. You're called. That's good. Got a good crew, good-looking crew tonight. But hey, is it just for young people that God calls? No. And many people have that idea that it's only young people that God is talking to when he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He says the message is to all of us tonight. And yes, I'm getting older. Today's my spiritual birthday, by the way. 53 years ago, I'm 53. 53 years ago, but it was Sunday. I got saved 53 years ago. 53. And I was born tomorrow, more than 53 years ago. Okay, so I get to celebrate two birthdays this week and here in Albany, Georgia. But I trust you have a spiritual birthday, by the way. If you don't have a spiritual birthday, this is the day of salvation, okay? This is the night, Wednesday night, to be saved if you're not saved. It's the greatest time of your life. How can I be personally involved? You know, there are three aspects of missions when we think about going into all the world or going here in Albany. And the three aspects of missions is pray, send, and go. Now, can you have a part in that? Can every one of you have a part in that? At least part of it, can't you? We can all pray. Now, someone said, "Brother, I can't do much, but I'll pray for you." Listen, if we didn't have people praying for us, we wouldn't be there 33 years or so, okay? We wouldn't be having souls saved because no one has any power without the Holy Spirit upon their life spiritually. Dr. Thompson used to be our field director for the West Indies, and he had a saying, you know, anybody can do dead men's works, but only a Christian can do God's work. Now think about that a minute. Any man can do dead men's works. You can be I don't know many of you folks tonight, okay, but I know a few, but I'm not picking on you. Anybody can, whether saved or lost, can be a realtor or a farmer or a insurance salesman, a grocery store clerk, a fast food clerk or whatever. You can be that. But an unsaved person cannot satisfactorily do God's work. Only God's people can do God's work. And so we need to be aware that God has a job for us. And one of those things is to pray. The other is to send. How do we do that? Giving our money. That's one way. But how else can we send? We can physically send somebody. How about it, brother? You're giving your family, right? Part of your family to missions? Send somebody from this church. It's always a blessing, you know, but you don't see them anymore. I mean, I was, Lynn and I were commissioned by our home church, Temple Baptist Church, in Lakeland, Florida. In 1980, we were commissioned to go out. And I don't know of another person that's been commissioned out of that church since that time. How many of you had commissioned out? Is this your first one? Second. It's a blessing, isn't it, to send someone from your church, and we need to be doing more of that. I'd like to see all of you young folks go, but God hasn't called everybody to go. He's called everybody to pray. He's called us to send, but yet He's called some to go. And maybe tonight, some of you individuals here are that material that God is dealing with. Now, we all have a responsibility to participate in evangelism. That's what this scripture is saying tonight. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." I realize you girls are not real good preachers, but you realize that some of you are real good preachers. All right, I better correct myself. But, you know, some women say, "Okay, I can't preach." But when you give a testimony for the Lord, when you witness for the Lord, you're preaching. You're foretelling the good news. And as you give your testimony, that's one way of evangelizing the world. Another way is by your personal testimony. Just give a testimony. Are you saved tonight? Then tell somebody what happened to you. That's a way of evangelism. How about tracts? That's a way of evangelism. Can everybody participate in that? Do you have a tract rack here? I haven't looked. I've seen some tracts back there. We have a tract rack. You can give out tracts. That's a way of evangelizing. You can invite somebody to church. I'm sure you've done that. Many of you have done that this week. You can invite somebody to church, and you can select a target and pray for that target. And what do we mean by that? You can get a burden for one particular individual and say, "Lord, I want you to give me that one individual this year. I want you to save that person." You pray for that person, you talk to that person, and you work with that person to get them to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do that, then you're successful as a witness for the Lord. You don't win that person or you don't save that person, but the Holy Spirit deals with their hearts, and they are able to be saved because of it. Tonight I wanted to just mention some things because of what has been said. as we, as missionaries, are on the other end. By the way, I enjoyed it. My wife and I both really enjoyed working on the line yesterday, putting those Bibles together, the fellowship. We had fellowship, bellyship, and everything else over there. But we got those things put together. But we've always been on the receiving end of those. And it's a real blessing to see that you folks are involved in putting the scriptures together and sending those out. Now, that is a way of getting the gospel out. You're not physically going out and saying anything or doing anything other than providing materials for missionaries or others to give out the Word of God. And the Word of God is what wins people anyway. Without hearing of the Word and reading of the Word, people cannot be saved. And you say, oh, that's all I can do is pass out a tract. That is God's Word. And by the way, you know, through the ministry of the radio station, we've given out hundreds and thousands of tracts over the years. And we provide pastors, national pastors, with tracts and individuals. I can think of a couple folks that I've had over the years. A couple of little old folks. I say little old folks. They would be retirement age. And wouldn't have a job probably. But they've got nothing to do but give out tracts. That's what they want to do. I had one little man, he would give out 1,000 tracts a day if I would give them to him. He would just come and I would give him tracts and he would go to the market and all day long he would pass out tracts. Now, was he wasting his time? No, because the word was going out. And by the way, in many countries of the world today, it is rare that you see a tract thrown down on the ground. Here, many times, if you pass a tract out to somebody, you'll see them throw it down right there in the trash. But and they do that down there as well, but not in like many places. So if the word goes out, and I've heard of many folks being saved because they picked up a tract out of the gutter and read it and got saved. So tracts are a very effective means of evangelism. And so as we think about the needs of the world today, and I was looking over your missionaries here. I think you have 94 missionaries and mission projects. That's a lot. And that's a good job as a church. But that doesn't get you off the hook individually, okay? You're still responsible to do what God asks each person to do. And that's what I wanted us to see tonight. One of the ways that we can participate in missions is by faith promise missions or giving to missions financially. And you do that. I noticed your card starts out with $2 and goes up. I remember when we started it years ago, we did it. We had three different kinds of cards. Have you ever seen that? You've got maybe yellow card, a green card, and a white card like you've got. And there are different amounts on there, but they're geared to different age groups. So if it was green, we knew that it was very small children. And if it was yellow, we knew that it was teenagers. And if it was white, we knew it was adults. And that way they could judge how to plan on the faith promises as it came in. But it was a way of getting the boys and girls involved from the very early age in giving to missions. And you know, when a child gives a quarter to mission, boy, he's going great guns. And by the way, another thing that we've done this past year, and I thought was a real blessing, we're doing again this year as a church, something that you can do with young folks is to save just the change. Pennies, dimes, nickels. My wife and I have, of course, there's a lot of work. My wife and I are involved in our home church there in the island. I take care of the missions, finances for the missionaries. And we collected these pennies and dimes and nickels. And we don't have half dollars. We did have, they changed it in August, but we in the islands we had 1 cent, a 2 cent, a nickel, a dime, a quarter, and then a dollar is a coin. And now that they've done away with the 1 cent and the 2 cent, so we start with a nickel. America's probably going to do away with a penny pretty soon. It costs more to make a penny than it's worth. But we collected all of this, and we got $800 and something dollars. of just spare change. And of course, my wife and I had to count all that. She did most of it while I was at work. But we counted that, separated it, and put it in bags and took it to the bank. Took the bank 2.5 hours to count it. But we got $800 and something, and then we gave that to special fund, and the church decided to give it to send boys and girls to camp. And so you can do great things with little as much, okay? We sing that little chorus, boys and girls, little as much when God is in it. And so there's various ways that we can get involved from the very young people right on up. And as adults and parents and even grandparents, we can teach our children and grandchildren from the very beginning that we need to give to missions. And as we learn to give when we're small, then we continue that habit. You know, habits are not bad. You ever think about that? We have bad habits, we have good habits. But good habits we need to cultivate, and one of the good habits is giving to the Lord on a habitual basis. And then, of course, as the Lord burdens our hearts, that we can give even more. But we're not going to talk about money, per se, because that's understood. But I think the thing that we many times look over is we give our money and we give we support our missionaries, but then we've relieved ourselves of the responsibility many times. Now, I thank the Lord for the folks in this church that have been very active in communicating with us and with other missionaries. Communication is very important. In our families, communication is very important. Husband and wives that don't communicate, they don't stay together very long. Today we've lost communication abilities in our families because we've got these crazy things in our hands all the time. All right? It's killing us, folks. It's killing our churches. It's killing us. Leave your phone at home during church. You know, I hear phones ringing in church all the time and people texting. Some are using that to advantage, but still, I think you need to leave those things home and listen to the Word of God. It's being preached and participate and communicate. But it's been mentioned as many times, families are not communicating anymore. They're talking or texting or whatever, but it's not communication. But it's very important with you and your missionaries. And it's encouraging. One of the things you could do is adopt a missionary family. You've got 94 different things here. Maybe as a family you could adopt one of those, maybe a week at a time or a month at a time. Spread it around and get involved in that missionary. Know what that missionary is doing or that missionary project is doing. And get involved in it and do whatever is necessary. But always check with a missionary when you're trying to help a missionary or get involved with a missionary. Can I give you a couple silly illustrations? Before I was a missionary, I went to the island of Antigua several times, and I was staying with a missionary family. Now, they had, I think at that time, 2 children, maybe 3. But the youngest one was at least 4 years old. I think at that age, you're supposed to be out of diapers, right? And so I went down to the post office with this missionary because they had received a notice from the post office that they had a package. Well, everybody gets excited about a package when you get a package. And we got the package, and we had to pay, I don't know, I think it's about $18. We had to pay to get it out of the post office. And when we got home, and the wife opened the package from one of their churches, it was a great blessing as we opened it up, and we found some used pantyhose. We found some used, dingy, yellow-type diapers. I mean, they looked like my T-shirts after 3 years of use. And some used tea bags. Now, that's a blessing. That missionary had to make a special trip, had to pay his money, and then he got a package like that. Now, was that a real help to the missionary? Well, maybe the person sending it thought it was, but it wasn't a help. It was a liability. So when you're planning to help a missionary, always ask them what they like or what they need. And it's a blessing to get it. I just was thinking about the other day, of some of the situations that we've seen come along the way. But, you know, the post office, if you send a package through the post office overseas, it's $20 or $30 just for a small package. And if you're going to do that, make sure that it's something the missionary wants or needs. We kid about it in the Kennedy School a couple of times that the missionaries have, and people will send a package to a missionary sometimes, and they'll say it's one thing, but it's another thing. And when the customs agent gets it and opens it up, and it says rice, and it's something else, he sort of laughs at you and says, that's funny looking rice. But to send rice to a missionary in Japan is sort of stupid, isn't it? But that does happen. People send missionaries things that are absolutely useless, but yet they have to pay the duty and go to the thing. And then not only that, when I get a package for the station or whatever, somebody sent it, and I see how much money they spent for that package to be shipped, I realize that, you know who we're really sending the money to? The post office. So if you're planning to help a missionary out and you really want to help him out, ask him what he would like to have. And if he tells you what he'd like to have and you'd like to help with that, say, would it be better if I send you the money directly, specifically used for that? And for what you spent for the postage, he could probably buy three or four of those things that you wanted him to have to start with. So those are practical things that we on the other end of the line sometimes experience. And it is a blessing. Don't stop doing what you're doing. Just you might want to be, some people need to be a little wiser in that. But we want you to be involved in it. Take a mission trip. We've talked to the guys about a mission trip. So your church has been involved in that. The best thing that your young people could do is take a mission trip. And some of you older folks, the best thing you could do is take a mission trip. All right? So don't limit it to that. We believe in that. We've been in really, our first mission trip was group was in 1983. And since that day, we've been doing mission trips for various groups. And that's one of the highlights of our year is to see folks come to the mission field. And not only that, the blessing it makes me get all excited is for a young person that's going to the mission field says, the thing that made this thing firm in my mind and in my heart was my mission trip that I took to Antigua or the mission trip that I took somewhere else. Those years, that particular time in a young person's life, when they go to a different culture and see a different culture and how the Lord is working in people's lives, He can speak to their hearts and convict them or burden their heart, give them that call, whatever you want to call it. And we've seen great results of young people surrendering their lives to the Lord because they took that mission trip and saw firsthand. What do you think of when you... Of course, you've seen our presentation, but what do you think of when you think of a missionary? Well, I dare say many of you think of grass huts. And some missionaries live in grass huts. I'm not sure I want to live in a grass hut, but I'd do it. But it's not fun because you've got all the lizards and stuff in the ceiling. But missionaries don't live in grass huts necessarily. But everybody has this preconceived idea. But once you go and visit a field and get your eyes open, you see that, hey, it's not all grass huts. It's all not ignorant people. By the way, folks, I think we as Americans many times think that everybody else in the world is less intelligent than we are, maybe because of their skin color. Let me tell you, some of my folks, I'm not going to get around them intellectually. They're very, very smart. And I say, yes, sir. You know, it's a blessing to see some of our young folks, how intelligent they are, and it's not the color of their skin, it's not their culture. But God can use a person that's saved for His glory anywhere in the world today. And the blessing is that wherever they are, and if they're saved, we are kindred spirits. And we can fellowship and have a blessing together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Be a prayer warrior. Boy, you got some here. I know that. I've seen them already. You can spot them. People who pray. And thank the Lord for prayer warriors. We need folks who can pray for missions. You may not be able to go. You may not be able to send any money, but you can pray, pray, pray. And as we mentioned earlier, pray the Lord of the harvest that He would send forth laborers into the harvest. For we're already white unto harvest. You know, as I come down here to Georgia and I see these cotton fields that are white, you know, it just brings that out. The world is white already unto harvest. Now, another thing that we can get involved in, this week we were blessed to have the HELPS ministries here. My former pastor, Dr. MacMillan, is with HELPS. And these guys were a real blessing. Oh, I guess one of those guys here, the guy from India, I guess I could call him a relative, sort of. I never knew him before, but he knows my Indian kid's family. He went to school there, I think, right? And it's always a blessing to run into people like that you know and come to find out they're your cousin or something. You know? But we've got Indian kids, we've got Venezuelan kids, and they're all around. And it's a blessing to see these men that are different nationalities serving the Lord. And you might want to help a national person. And through your missionary, as you communicate with your missionary, say, is there a national pastor that I could help? Or a national family that I could help. They have special needs. And maybe that pastor knows how that you personally could help. Now check with your pastor. You know, you need to check with him before you do something like that. I realize pastors have different ideas about getting involved in the personal lives of individuals. But there's needs out there that we all can be involved in. Especially parents, if you've got children, get them involved in missions very early, where they get to know missionaries personally. They realize that they're not some kind of a weirdo. We are a peculiar people, I'll say that. But we're all just human beings serving the Lord. We're just in different locations. And not everybody that's a missionary is a foreign missionary. We're missionaries in our own towns here. In fact, our mission board has a project called Reseeding America. And Reseeding America is nothing else but church planting new churches in the United States of America. Missionaries are now coming to the United States of America. That's a tragic thing. South Korea is one of your... They get sent out more missionaries than many others. Around the world there's missionaries. But national pastors have needs. And where you could send money to an American missionary, you might send that same amount of money and be able to support two or three national missionaries. That's not saying that the national missionaries... You do that in the place of it. But there are good missionaries out there that can be used of God greatly for $25 a month. And so it's a good investment. And so churches, there are churches on the fields that need finances or need help. Maybe you've got some expertise that you could go personally and help. That's how God can deal with your heart personally. And you can be of service for the Lord's work. And there's always special needs that they have. So I just wanted to share with you a little bit. I realize that's a sort of a strange message. But, you know, we get the messages. We get the desire to go. And people say, well, I can't really go. So I'll just not do anything. But we have a responsibility right here. He said, ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, and in Judea, and in Samaria, all at the same time. And so, how can we do that? Well, some of us have to go over there, and some stay here, and some go in the middle. And it may be that there's another ministry 40 miles away that you need to go on the weekends to help in the afternoon, a nursing home, or hospital visiting. The Lord is dealing with us regarding this seniors business. So many people in the world today are not being touched by anybody. They're just left out to rot away, I guess. Families don't care anymore. And so God still cares for them. And God can still save a person that's 80 or 90 years old. And so pray for us as we go. But the thing we're concerned is that each one of us, each one of you, becomes active, not only in faith promise, do that, please. That's the way your missionaries stay on the field. But get involved personally with a personal ministry, and don't just be satisfied with warming a bench, but reach somebody with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.